Hi, boys and girls. Like you, Santa is listening to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. Oh, 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 oh.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Merry Christmas and welcome to this, the 19th episode of the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com, a brief, simple, merry little podcast that's just like our full-throated podcast, but much shorter and not nearly as detailed with the goodness of Christmas. If you want the full dose, head on over to the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com and become a premier member so you can get the full one-hour episode of every podcast as well as full year-round commercial-free access to Kringle Radio, our year-round stream of Christmas music unlike anything else online.
Yeah! Don't let me startle you. I'm just doing the rebel yell here to kind of kick things off, you know what I mean?
This episode of the Merry Little Podcast is all about the Southern Christmas. You see, over in episode number 60 of the Merry Podcast, we've been talking about the real Christmas celebrated in America from the years of about, 1600 to about 1850 or so. We're talking real history from real people who wrote of their personal experiences in diaries and journals. This is not the stuff of historians. This is the stuff of real folks. And we've stopped it all right now before heading into episode number 61, where we detail the 19th century Christmas in ways you've never heard before, to highlight right here and right now the many things that we as Americans celebrate of Christmas that comes from our southern regions. Take, for example, this little song that everyone who knows Christmas just knows. Now wait a minute, I know what you're saying. Jingle Bells is a song about snow and cold, and that's not from the American South. And you're right, it's not. However, did you know that the city of Savannah, Georgia, claims Jingle Bells belongs to them? You see, the writer of the song was one James Pierpoint, the son of an abolitionist minister from New England. Pierpoint tried to be a family man like his father, but in his heart, he really wanted the life of a wanderer. He left his family in New England to strike it rich as part of the gold rush in California, but he failed in those endeavors, and while he was gone, his wife passed away. So he returned to the East and settled in Savannah, Georgia, where he remarried and became a church organist. And it was during that time that Pierpoint wrote the song Jingle Bells, a song inspired of his boarding school days in New England, and one intended to celebrate Thanksgiving, not Christmas. However, Jingle Bells came along during a critical time in American Christmas history, and it was adopted as Christmas and Southern from the get-go. Besides, what could be more American than a song about driving fast and picking up girls?
Christmas and Dixie, it's snowing in the pines. Merry Christmas from Dixie to everyone tonight. And from Fort Payne, Alabama, Merry Christmas tonight.
Dixie, of course, is the South, and that's the country group Alabama with just one of their many Christmas hits. Christmas music knows few limits, but country music has its claws into Christmas as much as any other kind of music. Besides, it's poetic in a way to bring up Alabama because it was the state of Alabama that led the nation in declaring Christmas as an official holiday. That's one very interesting tidbit of American history right there. How in the world did that happen? Well, this is one of the broader topics covered in episode 60 and 61 of the Merry Podcast. Christmas unofficially existed in the Americas for hundreds of years, long before there were any states or colonies to speak of. We have talked about that at length already. But once the United States was founded, there were simply no holidays on the official calendar. That doesn't mean people didn't celebrate holidays, it just means that the government didn't recognize them. This is what gives rise to such myths as there being no Christmas before Dickens or no Christmas in America before Jingle Bells. That's just not true. But how was it that Alabama became the first to say, hey, it's Christmas and we're taking it as a holiday? Well, it gets back to religion, folks. It always does. Much is made of the famous New England banning of Christmas in the 1600s, but that doesn't mean Christmas wasn't celebrated elsewhere in what would become the United States. You see, this division was a very old one amongst Christian sects long before America was America. And they brought those divisions with them to the New World. In the far north of New England, Christmas was of the Puritan flavor. In other words, it was very religious. But it was still observed, and we note carefully. There was a form of Christmas that was outlawed by the Puritans, a form practiced by others claiming to be Christian, and the Puritans wanted nothing of it because it was largely secular. It was profane to them, it was excessive, it was rowdy, and it disrupted their peace. That was the Christmas the Puritans outlawed. But that didn't mean that they outlawed the sacred Christmas. That's what the Puritans celebrated. Of course, further south in Jamestown, Christmas was very famously and publicly celebrated. Somehow, thanks to the inhabitants of Jamestown, eggnog became an American thing, not an English thing, where it had its roots. And that's a fun thing to consider today when we see our UK cousins trying eggnog on YouTube these days. Originally, it came from the UK, but today, it's considered an American institution. As Americans say, is putting the orange in the toe of a Christmas stocking. You see, that too is another Southern tradition, largely celebrated now everywhere in America. And that's because the religious Christians of the early Southern regions of the United States had an abiding love for the traditions of St. Nicholas from their homelands. You see, one of the legends of St. Nicholas was his ability to help the poor, especially those not of his faith. Within his circle, he knew of a family where there were three daughters, and he knew as well that the father of this family was seriously considering the idea of selling his eldest daughter into slavery, because that's what poor families needed to do in order to provide for their younger children. But St. Nicholas caught wind of this situation, and in the dark of night, he made his way to this family's home, and he placed a small amount of gold in the stocking of the eldest daughter. This is how the legend goes. Well, some say it was a bag of gold. Others, in telling the legend, call it a ball of gold. The orange in the toe of a Christmas stocking in early Southern America was an aid in retelling this famous St. Nicholas legend. The South was filled with French Catholics and Scotch and Irish Protestants who so readily embraced St. Nicholas as a tradition and who tended to lean a little more on the secular side of Christmas as well. This is how Alabama became the first to declare Christmas a holiday. Their religious makeup in 1836 made the celebration of Christmas fairly universal. Everyone was celebrating that day anyway, so why not make it an official holiday? Well, within a short amount of time, other states followed suit, starting with nearly every southern state first. Why did it take until 1870 for Christmas to hit the national calendar as a federal holiday? Well, it took that long because there were no holidays up to that point on the calendar. Christmas became an official holiday with Independence Day, New Year's Day, and Thanksgiving Day. There was nothing then spelled out special about it other than state workers got those days off, so that meant that federal workers deserved them off too. That declaration, making Christmas a holiday, is about as unmarry a document as you could ever read. It sounds like a car rental contract. But there's nothing dry or mundane about Christmas in the South. It's the place that gave us pecan pies and the Christmas wreath, decorating with pines and evergreens, and the real home of decorating with lights to the degree of Griswold-like madness. All of that belongs to the American South. How did it become this way? Well, you have to give a tip of the Yankee cap to our Southern brethren. They just knew how to party. and my study of personal histories that we showcase in episodes 60 and 61 of the Merry Podcast, we share some journal entries from all over America. And I'll do that just once here, just to give you a better idea of the true Southern Christmas of the 19th century. It comes from a letter written by a man by the name of J.S. Hardaway to his grandsons, and he's speaking of Christmas 1852 in Georgia. And this is part of what he wrote. Once he brought me a pair, speaking of Santa Claus here, this is when he was maybe 6 years old. Once he brought me a pair of red-topped boots, and I tell you, the proudest little boy who ever saw was me. How I did strut around in those fine boots. Often he brought us pop crackers and Roman candles and skyrockets and wheels of fire and torpedoes. But he does not bring little boys fireworks, because they might burn themselves, and they might put an eye out and hurt someone in some way. So these fireworks are brought to boys when they get to be big. Sometimes Santa would bring a tin horn and some whistles to make noise with, and we surely did create a din at Christmas. Just as soon as it began to be light in the morning, we would get up and get our stockings and look to see what we had gotten, and such a hubbub you never heard as when we pulled out the presents from the stockings. It was a great time. Perhaps there is no greater pleasure in life than that which comes to a little boy unpacking his Christmas stocking. So I'm wishing that you and Theodore may have a big time this Christmas, and that Santa Claus may bring you a great many things. But then you must be good little boys. Now let us ask why it is that we are so glad at Christmas, and why we ought to be kind and happy. Sometimes, while you are playing with your Christmas toys, you must think about Jesus, whose birthday Christmas is. And as Jesus was good to all, and tried to make us good, and gave us many precious gifts, so we ought to be good to others, and try to help them to be good, and to give to others good gifts as we are able. That, boys and girls, is a great summation of the Southern Christmas. Fireworks, gunfire, Christmas community, sing-along, street corner, Santa's collecting for charity. These are all Southern Christmas inventions, a time in the Old South where the world changed, always for a day, but sometimes for a season, and everybody there seemed to think of others. That's the Southern Christmas. Join us at the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com as we continue our detailed exploration of the 19th century Christmas, including those stark years of the Civil War in America, a real event that forever changed and shaped Christmas as we know it today. For all of us at MyMerryChristmas.com, this is Jeff Westover wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.